Good morning and Shavua Tov. Here we are continuing through Maseches Sota, just on a nice note, Baruch Hashem, as we're on the 13th daf in Maseches Sota, and there are 49 lot in Maseches Sota, we should know that we're about a little bit more than a quarter of the way through. Not that we're counting upwards and waiting until we finish, but that we should know that it's been incredible. We've been learning for over a week and a half now. We're, 2 weeks now or so, and it's just a tremendous chus. And we have this chus of continuing to learn together and to shtag together each day, appreciating the day. It's great when I speak to people over Shabbos or whatever, and they tell me that they're reviewing the daf, or they know the daf, or they're coming back to the daf, and we're speaking about the daf. That hopefully our shir is not just people that do the daf, which is common lingo. Oh, do you do the daf? We live the daf, we go through the daf, we review the daf, we speak about the daf with people at work, on the train, when we're going, we're moving, it's
WhatsApp
chats, which is not that lively, by the way. I sometimes, let's get some more stuff going on there during the day. People can share stuff. If email's better, we can create an email chain. Let's get things alive there. Let's be able to live the daf together, just a couple brief notes. Number one, may this year be a refuah shleimah to my father, Rav Shlomo Fal ben Bela. And as we go through, just in general, as we learn together, if anybody has a refuah shleimah, a schus for anything that they want the shir to be a schus for, and waking up before 6 to learn Torah is a tremendous schus, please let me know and we can share it, or please let me know at the beginning of the shir, and we can just have the... Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So we should have good news all around for everybody and continue to shag. This Friday night, Bezrat Hashem, Gil Harris is going to give the shir. So even though we didn't have a shir this past Shabbos, Gil Harris will give the shir the Shabbos over Chalent, hopefully at about 8 or 8:15. So hopefully people will be able to be there and learn together with him. Shabbos was a big daf. We didn't go through Shabbos daf. I just felt like my name is Moshe. I had to bring at one point about Moshe Rabbeinu. We speak about Moshe. We speak about some of his different names on Shabbos. I had to speak at one point. This point is mentioned from Rabbi Roan, apparently, who's a Rebbe in Netiv Aryeh. I heard this from Rabbi Rosner about 7.5 years ago. It's in my Gemara from 7.5 years ago. I felt like I felt compelled to share it, and I apologize for our daf, just have to share. Why was Moshe named Moshe? Why do we know him as Moshe? Tuvia, other names that he has. Why do we call him Moshe? He had 10 names, according to the Medrash. We call him as Moshe, the name that Bas Paro called him? Oh, that's holy. What are we doing? So, the name Min HaMayim Mishisihu, we've pulled from the water. Rome brings down beautifully that water is the ultimate conformity. It just, whatever container water goes into, it'll fill that container. Ultimate conformity. It will just fill whatever it's inside of. Moshe was exactly the opposite. He was min hamayim. He was a non-conformist. He did exactly the opposite of water. When he grew up in the palace, he didn't just, when in Egypt, act like the Egyptians. When in Midian, act like the Midianites. When here, act... No, he was Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew who he was. And he acted like who he was, not his surroundings, that helped him become who he was today. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Continues the pshat here in the Gemara. Yosef Zachav Chulu, we are about 7 lines down from Yud. Gimel, Amud, Aleph, today's daf, and we're at the two dots. Yosef, Zachav, Hulu, what are we coming off? The Mishnah, again, said about Sota that it's Mida, Keneged, Mida. We had a couple of cases, Mida, Keneged, Mida, for punishments. We had Shimshon. Then we also discussed Mida, Keneged, Mida in a good sense. Who was the first person we brought up? Miriam. Excellent, thank you, Mark. Miriam. What was Miriam's Mida, Keneged, Mida?
She waited.
How long?
7 days. I mean, she waited an hour or 7 days.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then who did we discuss? Burials. Who buried who? And then who buried who? Putting guys on the spot here. First, who buried who?
Yosef.
Good. Well, right. Well, Yosef buried Yaakov. Right? Yaakov said, bring out my bones from here. Mm-hmm. Yosef brought his bones up. And buried Yaakov, then Moshe buried Yosef, and then who buried Moshe? Hashem. And Hashem says also that he'll bury all the tzaddikim, so it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu. Unbelievable. So let's see that a little bit more inside. We have a lot of nice big concepts today, as we have a lot of days tomorrow, midway through tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, second parak, and back to more Sota issues. But for now, it is full on, I got it. Yosef Zachav Chulu. Maishna Meikar Diksevayal Yosef Likboros Aviv. Originally, we said... let's talk about the process, the procession of the Kfur of Yaakov. So first we said that they went up from Mitzrayim, Vayal Yosef Likbor Saviv, Vayal Yito Kol Avdei Faro V'chulu, right? And up with him went all the Avdei of Paro. V'hadar, and then we said, V'chol Beis Yosef, Ve'achiv, Ubeis Aviv. Right? And all the Shvatim also went. So wait, was it Yosef and Mitzrayim that went? Or was it the Shvatim that went? Like, where's the Shvatim coming in here? U'mashtan levasof diksiv. And why at the end does it say, Vayeshev Yosef, Mitzrayma, hu ve'achiv, v'hadar v'chol ha'olim os itolik baris aviv. And then why at the end does it say, interestingly, we change the order of the psukim in terms of when the Shvatim come up. Because we say what? Vayeshev Yosef Mitzrayma, hu ve'achiv. And then it says, everybody went down with him, the Egyptians, to bury in Mitzrayim. Whereas the pasuk before that, it had the Egyptians and then the rest of the Shvatim. Amar B'Yochanan, B'tchila, ad shelo ro b'chvodon shel Yisrael. Originally then, when the Mitzrayim, they didn't really see the Shvatim much. Why? They only saw Yosef. The Shvatim were living out in Goshen. They were separated. This is before Yaakov died. So they didn't really get to know the Shvatim at all. So lo nogu behen kavod. All right, their dad Yaakov's a great guy. Yosef, their brother's a great guy, but I don't really know them. I'll go in front of them. I'm not really allocating much respect for them. But at the end, when they understood who they were, that's when they gave them kavod. That's when they allowed them to go back to Mitzrayim before them. Literally, and they came ad goren ha'atad, like, you know, like a pile of the threshing floor. There we go. Just have to get that in there. V'chi goren yishol la'atad. And for the goren, literally, do make like a pile of thorns. What's this pile of thorns going on? Amar bevo, lamechi kifug sarim le'arono shel Yaakov. That when they went down, or when they went up, for Yaakov Avinu, then there was a bunch of non-Jewish kings that came also. It wasn't just the Shvatim, it wasn't just Yosef and the Mitzvah. Apparently a lot of non-Jewish kings came there as well. And they all kind of took their crowns off and put them in the middle. La Aron Shel Yaakov, kind of around the Aron of Yaakov. Ki goren zeshem akif and lo atot. Kind of like some sort of floor or whatever, where you put kind of like the sheaves kind of around the thorns. Not exactly sure, but some sort of situation there which resembles the crowns around the Aron. Shabo Sham, the Bach has in Shabo Sham, B'nei Esau, U'b'nei Shrel, U'b'nei Keturah. Ubed B'nei Shmol, U'b'nei Keturah. And there, to the barrel of Yaakov, came the B'nei Esau, the B'nei Yishmol, and the B'nei Keturah. Keturah was... And remember?
Hello.
Yesterday's Parsha, right at the end?
Hello.
And why was she called Keturah?
Because she was... smelled nice like Torah.
Right, her actions.
Her
right,
actions
her actions.
Nice like
excellent.
She was finally converted.
Exactly.
She stopped like idol worship.
Exactly. So right at the end of the parsha, Yaakov's Avram marries Keturah. They have a bunch of kids. So these kids they were referring to, which by the way, Avram sent them away and gave them matanos, shem tumok, according to Rashi, sent them out to the east. Right. So the B'nai Keturah they came.
It's amazing that they knew about all this.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, because they didn't have
right.
Buddhism.
Always.
Buddhism.
You'll see what happens. Well, maybe he sent them. Oh, you're right. You're right. What happened? That's very interesting. Did they come back from China? I don't know, because he sent them and then he. I don't know. Interesting. Right. Did they come back from out east or did they go out east? Maybe they went out east later. Maybe they stayed around for a while. I don't know. It's a very good question. But we'll see how email would have helped soon on the Amud. Email would have helped a lot. Here we go. Tana. Kulam lemelchama bo. They all came for melchama. Because what do they see is going on there? They wanted to prevent Yaakov from being buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, according to Marsham. And what happened there? Kivan shro kisro shel Yosef, tolu ba'arono shel Yaakov. And once they saw the crown of Yosef, who was then the viceroy of Egypt, on the coffin of Yaakov, nutlu kulam kisrein v'tlom ba'arono shel Yaakov. And once they saw how much respect Yosef was giving, once they saw what was going on in Yosef's power, they then kind of all... took off their crowns and they showed kavod to Yaakov. And that's also why they start to give respect for the Shvatim on the way back, that even though the Mitzvah didn't really know who the Shvatim were beforehand, but once they saw how truly great Yaakov was and how much respect everybody was giving to him, they then wanted the Shvatim to go in front of them on the way back. Tana, Shloshim Shishak Sarim Natlu Ba'arono Shel Yaakov. There were 36 crowns on the Aron of Yaakov, on the coffin of Yaakov. The art scroll I saw had a whole chart about which crowns these were. Feel free to take a look there. It's to every king who put their crown there on the coffin. Rashi goes through it. Vayaspidu sham misbed gadol v'chavedim od. They mourned there. They had great eulogies. Tana afilu susim v'afilu chamorim. Even the horses and the donkeys were somehow wailing. What? Is this like not real? Is this somehow, what's that word, where you put, like, people, anthropomorph, whatever, why were they crying? Why were they wailing? What was really happening here? Just a couple brief points. Number one, the Marsha. The riff in Ein Yaakov, the Marsha says that they used to put, like, these black robes on animals, kind of, for the funerals, to kind of get them into the mood also, or to kind of get everybody in the mood. That's really what was happening. So it wasn't really maybe that they were crying, but they were kind of in the groove there, dressed in black. The riff in Ein Yaakov brings down, no, they withheld food from their animals for a while, leading up to it, so that they would feel it too, so that it could complement the mourners' mourning. So that if they're in the mood, and they are neighing and braying and crying, blah, 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 then everybody's going to kind of feel it more. So they actively put that on them. The Meshech Chachma brings down that the animals were hungry. Because what happened when Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim? The famine stopped. When he died, according to Meshech Chachma here, the famine started again. So the animals didn't really have food, and therefore they were into it also, because they felt that loss. They were just hungry. So it wasn't that it was like some supernatural miracle here. But the animals felt it too. Let's continue. A famous story here, and it's amazing that we have so much about the Marsa Machpelah last week, more today, unbelievable. Shabbos Chaisar yesterday. Shabbos Chavron. Asa Esav kam Akiv. And Esav's like, oh, no. I'm not going to allow this to happen. Amar Alhan, Esav says to them, Mamre Kiryas Arba. I know that Mamre is Kiryas Arba, which means that it's a city of four, meaning that there's going to be four pairs of people buried here. By the way, how many people were buried there already? Quick math.
When? At what point?
This point, Yaakov Avinu, he's in his coffin, he's waiting to go in.
Adam
Chava, Avram Sara, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Leah's already there too.
Yeah, but at that point, actually refers to four additional ones. It doesn't refer to that. Like at the point where it says four, where it mentions four, it says four additional ones. Like Avram was searching, Chaya Sarai was saying he was looking for a place that he could bury four.
So the Mefarshim
actually supposed to be five.
Interesting point. The Mefarshim here bring down that Kiryas Arba is the city of fours, man. It means that it's not that there will be pairs of fours, but this is the place where there's going to be four pairs. But I hear it. He, Chevron, and this is Chevron. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kiryas Arba, Arba Zugo Sayu. That Rav Yitzchak says that there's going to be four pairs here. Adam Chava, Avram Sar, Yitzchak Rivka, Yaakov Aleah. You, Kivra Aleah B'didei. And what did Esav say? Leah's already buried there. Means that Yaakov and Esav each should get one spot in Marsa Machpelah. They're brothers. So Yaakov already buried his wife Leah there. So Esav should get the other spot, right? One and one. It's only fair. Two brothers each get one spot in the Marsa Machpelah, which, by the way, I find it fascinating. Had Esav been buried there, it would have been Esav and Leah. Oh. Which goes back to potentially what could have been between the brothership of Yaakov and Esav, that if Yaakov was the Ishtam Yoshev O'alim, and then Esav was the complementary, being out there in the fields, but they were both serving Hashem, then you're right, it should have been Esav and Leah, which is interesting. Esav wanted to be buried right next to Leah here as that pair, yes?
Well, but Esav's head was buried.
That's interesting that the Bechor was really Esav, but he died after Yaakov.
That's coming right up. The Bechorship and what happened with that too. So here we go. So what happened there? You kibra the Leah b'didei. Leah was already buried there from Yaakov. The hide defayish, and that one spot which was left, didiyu. Esav saying, wait, that one spot which is left, which should be mine. Amru Leah. So they responded to him, meaning that the Shvatim, it seems, responded to Esav, you sold it. Our Parsha. Parsha's told us this Sunday. This is what we're talking about right now. Unbelievable. What tremendous hashgacha. Amar Lehu, so he responds to them. You're right. I sold the extra special privileges, maybe the avoda. The pshitusa, mizvini, but the standard stuff that I'm going to get, which means that the standard burial plot, so to say, there's two spots. Yahu gets one and I get one. I did not sell. Amar Lehu, they said, yes, you did. They said, v'kivrei asher karisi li. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rishim Ben Yotzarak Ein Kira El Lashon Mechira. That kivri which you sold seems to be a kira which is a lashon of mechira. Shekain Bechrachei Yam. So too, like the people of the seas in those cities, Koran the mechira kira, which seems to be that you sold bekivri Asher Karisi Li in the caver, so to say, which you sold to me. So it seems like yes, you did sell Yaakov that spot too with that lentil soup. Amar Lu Havi Li Igrasa. Okay. Alright, you guys seem to convince me, but I'm not going to do nothing without a shtar. You guys got to show me the proof that I sold it for the lentil soup. Amrle Igrisla Barath Mitzrayim. The other, like, oh man, we can't fax it over. Facts don't exist right now, but hey, we got that document in Mitzrayim. Uman Nazel, so who should we send to go get it? Because we got to bury our father. Nazel Naftali. Let's send Naftali. The Kolil Ki Ilasa. He's fast like a gazelle. They said Naftali, Ayelas, Ayelas Shlucha, Hanosein Imre Shefer. There's beautiful sayings. Let him loose, right? Naftali, he's the quick one. Let him go run back to Mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Avo, Al Tikri Imre Shefer, Ela Imre Sefer. Right? Imre Shefer from the Pasuk that describes Naftali. It has a reference to Imre Sefer. He's going to be the one who's going to repeat the document. That's Naftali. He's going to run to get the document. Chushim, famous story right now. Chushim Breit Don, Taman Hava. Chushim, the son of Don, who was a grandson of Yaakov, was deaf. V'akiron Legodnei, right? He was hard of hearing. Gomer Elohu, what's going on here? Well, like, he all of a sudden, like, looks up. He doesn't hear the discourse, the discussion, the back and forth. From Relay, come Akev, hi, Adosi Naftali Marz Mitzrayim. We're going to wait until Naftali comes back from Mitzrayim. And as however fast Naftali is, to travel from Hebron to Mitzrayim without a plane or a car is going to take some time. He's like, our father's going to sit in a coffin. Our grandfather's going to sit in a coffin until that happens. Amrlu. Sorry, I don't remember time. Amrlu. Vadosi Naftali Marz Mitzrayim. Yiv Abba Mutum Bizayon. Are we going to wait and our grandfather's going to be lying here in a Bizayon until he comes back? Shakil Kufa Machia Reshe. Right? He takes a stick, slams it on Esav's head. Natran Ene. Esav's eyes pop out. Nafla Kara de Yaakov. And somehow Esav's eyes or whatever fall on Yaakov. Esav is now dead. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Maimer Lamed Beis says, well, Chushim is the only one that did this. It seemed to be a good thing to do. All right, like, let's get things over with. Esav, you're done. I'm sorry, this is not going to pass. None of the Shvatim had the guts to do that. None of the other grandsons. It took Chushim to do it.
Here's the viceroy of Mitzrayim. I don't understand how, you know, they...
Oh, but that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, feel free to look it up. Maimer Lamed Beis. He says that sometimes we get so political. We get so, there's a reason. Okay, there's an answer. Let's have a peace process. I'll give you this, you'll give me that. Okay, we'll wait another 6 months until all these people die, and then we'll come back, and then maybe we'll do this. Only if you kill us first, we'll kill you. We'll self-defense. We get so politically correct in our discussions that it takes an outsider to come and say, wait, stop. What is going on? What? And just take action. But sometimes we're so in it. Oh, whatever. Okay, maybe this, maybe that. All right, fine. But if we... I'm not trying to give over any political, inclinations right now. This is a Torah shir. I'm just trying to give us an example. Sometimes we get so into it, or we're so involved with the discussions around it, with anything, that we don't seem to have the ability to truly take action because we've been diluted in our passion towards it. But if somebody just kind of pops up and takes a look at the panoramic shot about what's going on, it seems so bizarre, and they might take action. So we can try to find ways the Bali Musar bring down, right, that we can try to find ways that sometimes we just have to look at the big picture and be able to take action in this kind of regard. Paschinu Yaakov Leine, either real or not so real, but Yaakov opened up his eyes, ve'ochich, and he smiles. I don't think so. Yismach tzadik ki chazon akom pa'amav yirchatz bedam rasha. That he had some sort of nachas ruach with Esav's downfall in that case. But osa shah, and in that moment, niskayim nevuasa shel Rivka. The nevuah of Rivka. What was that? Diksev loma eshkol gam shnechem yom echad. That if Esav kills Yaakov, this is when she tells Yaakov to run away, right? I don't want them to die on the same day, she says. Even though they didn't ultimately die on the same day, but really they were both buried on the same day. Unbelievable to again have a quote from this week's Parsha. And when I took a look just in the classic stone Chumash, right here at the end of our Parsha, we're quoting the beginning of our Parsha, we're quoting the end of our Parsha on Sunday of this week's Parsha. I love it. So if you take a look at the Pasuk there, it's Perek Lamed Zion Pasuk. Pasuk Mem Hey, right? And it speaks about Rivka telling Yaakov. Just if you take a look at the note at the bottom of the stone Chumash, right? This was an unintentional prophecy that they would die on the same day. The Talmud, Sota 13a, today's Daf and Daf Yomi, states that figuratively such was the case, as Rashi says. Esav died and was buried on the day Jacob was brought to the burial in the cave of Machpelah. Thus, it was not their death, but their burial that took place on the same day. Baruch Hashem. Today's Daf, we're preparing for this week's Parsha for Shabbos here in the morning. Baruch Hashem. Here we go. V'ilo asak be Yosef. And says the Gemara, wait. So we're giving so much credit now to Yosef for bearing Yaakov. V'ilo asak be Yosef, but had Yosef not buried Yaakov, achav lo hava masaski be, would the Shvatim have not buried him? Of course the Shvatim would have buried him. So Yosef went first. Oh, so Yosef buried Yaakov, but everybody was involved, everybody was there. That the children went up to Eretz Kanaan, that means that it was everybody. You're right. That the Shvatim wanted to give Yosef the privilege because Yosef had the status of being a king. He had the status of being a viceroy. So they felt that it was more covetic for their father for Yosef to bury, which is unbelievable after what happened prior to that, right? That they're giving Yosef the covet of doing this, even though he wasn't the eldest, and he wasn't Reuven, he wasn't Yehuda, but they recognized his status and what it was. Yosef right? And this is who's going to bury Yaakov. The Mishnah then continued with, oh, Yosef buries Yaakov, because who's greater than Yosef? And then we had, who was greater than Moshe to bury Yosef? Then Hashem buried Moshe. Tanur Banan, Bo'erei kama chavivos mitzvos al Moshe Rabbeinu. How great was mitzvos al Moshe Rabbeinu? She called Yisrael and Kulan Asaska Bebiza. That everybody, that all the Jewish people, I think I'm by Machas Hoshech, everybody was gathering up the spoils. V'honis asek b'mitzvos. And Moshe was gathering the bones of Yosef. Shneimar chacham lev yikach mitzvos l'chulu. That the chacham lev, right? That the wise man, so to say, is grabbing all the mitzvos. U'minayin ha'yodea Moshe Rabbeinu heichan Yosef kavur. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu know that, where did he know where he was buried? Hold on a second. The Kli Yoker just says on that pasuk, okay, sorry. Well, let's continue. My notes and the arrows are all going around the place. Maybe we'll come back to the Kli Yoker. But here we go. Where does... Sorry about that. Shemar. Okay. U'minayin ha'yodea Moshe Rabbeinu heichon Yosef kavur. Where does... Moshe Rabbeinu know, where did he know where Yosef was buried? Amru Serach bas Asher. So Serach, the daughter of Asher. Where do we know Serach from? Where did she come up before this?
She's saying.
Yes, excellent. So she's the one who's saying lightly that Yosef chai, right? Excellent. Nishtaira me'osa ador. She was remaining from the generation. They bring that she must have been at least 200 years old, 210 years old here. Halach, she was one of the 70 that went down to Mitzrayim. So what happened there? Halach Moshe etzla. So Moshe went to her. Amar lo. Klumat yodat heichon Yosef kavur. Do you by any chance know where Yosef's buried? Amar lo. Aron shem matechas oslo mitzrim. That the mitzrim made a metal coffin. Ukvo benilos. And they threw it into the Nilos. Hanar into the river. Kadesh yisbarchu meimav. We know that the Egyptians were blessed from the Nile, so to say. They were kind of like into the Nile, because they all their water source was the Nile. That's where everything overflowed from. So they wanted to throw Yosef's body, who they felt was a blessing, into the Nile itself. Halach Moshe, Amar al Svas Nilos. So Moshe went to the bank of the river and said, Amar lo, Yosef, Higia Eish Shenishba Kodesh Baruch Hu, the time has come that Hashem's promise is going to be fulfilled. Shani Gol Eschem, I'm going to redeem the Jewish people. Interesting, Eschem, you, which also means Yosef included, Eschem, you. Yigi ha-shvua, shishpatas Yisrael, and the shvua that you promised the Jewish people is going to be fulfilled. Ema tamar atzmecha, if you're going to show yourself, mutav, great, you're coming with us. Vimlav, hareini menukin mishvosecha. If you don't appear right now, I can't do anything about it, and we'll see you later. Miad, immediately, tsof arono shel Yosef. The aron of Yosef floated up to the top of the river. The altatama heich barzel itself. And just by the way, tangentially, don't be in wonder, oh, how did this metal, so to say, float on the river? Because there's another time when that happened elsewhere. By Elisha, shariksiv ha'i'a ha'achad ma'pil ha'korah, that's a barzel nafal elamayim v'chulu. Right? And these materials, so to say, fell into the water. Aha adoni v'hu sha'ol, and it was barred. V'yomer ish ha'okim, and Elisha said, Ano nafal v'ireu. Where is it? They showed it to him. Esamakum in the place. Vayak save eitz vayishlach shama. Vatsef abarazel, so to say, in the place there by Elisha, the metal floated too. Valo dvarim kavachomer. And isn't a kavachomer ma Elisha tamidosh el Elio? Just like Elisha, who was the talmud of Elio. Elio tamidosh Moshe. And Elio was a talmud of Moshe. I guess if he was Pinchas, maybe that makes sense. If he was a talmud of Moshe. So if barazel mipanov, then the metal is going to float. Mipnei Moshe, ben alachas kamakama. So if Elisha is going to have some sort of miracle where the metal is going to float, then of course it can happen by the times of Moshe Rabbeinu too. So that was one source of where they got the coffin from. Serach said that it was in the Nilos, and Moshe Rabbeinu got it.
Where do you see the expression, Alei Shor?
Where do we see the expression? In the Torah?
Yeah.
Isn't that in Vayechi, right? Describing Yosef?
Alei Shor.
Yosef Alishar, right? Does it have anything to do with that here? No? Any?
Well, I thought that's what Moshe said when he raised the...
Not sure. It's a good question. Rabbi Nassan Amar, so a second opinion as to how they found the Aron of Yosef, says Rabbi Nassan, that it was in a cave, Bekabranet Shom Lachem Hayakavor, that he wasn't in the Nile, that he was in some sort of burial cave, you know, where they buried some VIPs, Halach Moshe V'amar Al Karbanet Shom Lachem, and he went to go stand there. Amar Yosef, Higia Eish Shenishbach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shani Gol Aschem, that the time has come that Hashem is going to redeem us. By the way, I'm not sure why, and maybe I'm just being too analytical, but I don't think so when I look at Gemara. Here it's one Yosef, but before it was two Yosef. It was Yosef by the Nile, and it was one Yosef here. I looked around. I didn't see somebody mention it, but if anybody sees anything, I'd be curious if that's... If there was something that's different.
Usually when Hashem is calling somebody, he says, Avram, Avram.
Right.
Yaakov,
Yaakov. Yeah.
Maybe this was Hashem speaking through Moshe's...
Great, so why two the first time and one the second time? Because when a person's in a bunch of coffins, then you don't know who, like they're mummified or whatever, and you don't know who it is, then it just takes one Yosef, but when they're at the bottom of the Nile, and they have to float.
His soul is no longer with him.
Okay, tough. So
it's just his goof.
In both cases. Right? V'giyah Shvuah.
Because the Nile was still there. That was part of the reason why they had to bury him in Israel. That was part of the reason why they needed Yosef, was because when they got to the... to the Reed Sea, they had to actually show his goof because it still had the spirit, inside of it.
But it seems like either way they had his goof because either he was mummified or whatever, and they had his goof, or in the Nile they had his goof. Because either way, there are two answers right here as to where his goof was. Anyways, let's hear it. I'd be curious to hear it out more. As I'm wondering if there's a difference between the two. V'yigash shvua sheishpatos Yisrael imatamaritz mechamutav, and if you show yourself great v'imlav harini menukin mishvosecha. Otherwise, if you don't, I'm totally cleansed from the promise that we made. Bosa shah nizdaz aron shal Yosef. So here it didn't float, but it shook, so Moshe would know which one it was. Nalu Moshe v'yivu etzlo, and he brought it. V'chol osan shneim, v'chol osan shanim shal Yisrael ba midbar, and all the years that the Jewish people were in the desert, hayu shnei aronos halolu. There were two aronos. Echot shel meis, echot shel shechina. There were literally one of the meis, which was Yosef, and one of the shechina, which was the Aron. Mehalchen zem zeh, and they went, so to say, next to each other. Vayu ovrin v'shavan omrim, and those who passed by saw it, said, Ma tivon shel shnei aronos halolu. What's going on, or what's the connection between these two aronos? One's a dead person, and one is, so to say, the Aron. Omr echot shel meis, echot shel shechina. And they said, one's the meis, one's the shechina. V'chima darko shel meis, alachem shechina. But wait, great, but what's the connection? Why are they going together? Omrus, what do they say? We're turning over to Amud Beis. Kiem zeh kol masha kosav zeh. You're right. But this one fulfilled everything that was written in this one. Means Yosef fulfilled everything that was in that one.
What happened with all the Shvatim? The Shvatim, they also brought them up?
The Shvatim?
They also died in Mitzrayim, right?
Good question. Good question, because right near Beit Shemesh, we have,
Dan, whatever, they have, like, all
Dan is right here, right?
Did they bring up all these
Dan, Shimshon, and Manoch?
No, right. Yeah, but they also Dan himself. I don't know, like, are they still
most
in Mitzrayim?
All the Shvatim died, I think, right?
They died.
In Mitzrayim, before they...
No, died after Yosef, so yeah.
Right, so they were all there, so the question is, Ellie's asking, great, so they were all probably brought up, right?
Yeah,
so why is Yosef so symbolic here?
I don't know if they actually... Maybe they did the same thing.
He made them do a shvua to bring him up.
He made them... So he made them have a shvua.
Okay. They were slaves then, because after Yosef passed away. I don't know, maybe.
He's had an interesting point.
Until the final pharaoh that they were slaves.
That's true. They were saying maybe they bought them up right away when they died.
Initially.
They weren't really slaves then.
So then why was Yosef, why did they wait?
Mitzvah didn't let,
because he was the viceroy.
Interesting.
He was the viceroy.
But I just realized that, there's probably like hundreds of thousands of Jews that buried somewhere in Egypt, right? Like throughout those years.
No, but it's also, Ephraim and Manasseh also came with, they actually came with Yosef. They had to, because they were buried at the same time.
Fascinating. Let's keep our eyes open, especially as we go through the daf and these week's parshos. We should have a deeper understanding in depth as to what's really happening and be able to ask these questions and get these answers. The daf yomi chat can even still be retroactive in a few weeks. If anyone sees the answer, please post that we can all know the answer. Bila wasik pe Moshe. Oh, wait, hold on a second. So, kiim zem ashikosu bazeh. What was written in the Aron? What was written?
Luchos.
So, great. So, Yosef kept the Luchos? Is that what it is? So, according to Rashi, yeah, it's the Aseres HaDibros. Yosef kept the Aseres HaDibros. The Ben Yoyada has just a gorgeous shot. such a Ben Yoyarov shot. Kiem ze kol mashakasov beze. What's ze? Zion and hey. Zion is 7, hey is 5. What's the 7th commandment? Adultery. Don't commit adultery. Yosef. That was one of his claim to fame. He did not. He was not with Eshes Potiphar. What was number 5? Zeh, Zion, and Hey? Kibud Av Va'Em. What was Yosef's other claim to fame? Yaakov Avinu. The son that he was, in all regards. Kim Zem, Kol Masha Kasuv Zeh. He was so big. That Zeh, the Zion and the Hay especially, is where he excelled. Vilo Asik Be Moshe, and that Moshe not buried you. Yosef, Yisrael Havo, Mizaske Be. So the same questions we asked about Yosef and Yaakov, the Gemara is now asking about Moshe and Yosef. Would the Jewish people not have buried Moshe and brought him up? It says, Apostle in Yoshua, that the bones of Yosef that the Bnei Yisrael brought up. So they get the credit too. So why are we only giving the credit to Moshe Rabbeinu for bringing up the bones of Moshe, of Yosef? And if Yosef did not bury them, then would Yosef's kids not have buried him? Ephraim and Menashe? That doesn't make sense, David. I guess they were alive? Would Yosef's kids not have buried them?
You mean back then? Why didn't they bury him back then?
Maybe. Right? That I'm for the Bnei Yosef, this is going to be some sort of inheritance, that it seems like that they did get credit for burying them.
His great-grandkids. It's not necessarily his
actual son. True. Excellent, Ellie. Thank you. Amru, so what did Yosef's kids say after Moshe died? Hanichlo kavod bim, or at least his descendants, right? Maybe not his kids. Right? But Hanichlo Kavodo Bimrubim. So right after Moshe passes away and the Jews are going into Eretz Yisrael, right? So Moshe didn't bring Yosef's bones all the way in, right? Moshe died, so the Bnei Yisrael had to bring them in. So they said, let us leave our kavod aside so that more Jews can carry him. So Yosef Mibum Watim, because it's more kavod if more Jews bring than less, right? Berovam Hadras Hamelach, that with the multitude is really where Hashem, where the kavod is. So they said, great, so we're a couple people, but let's instead allow the Bnei Yisrael to bring the bones. That would have more of a kavod for Yosef. V'su Amru, and then all the Jews said, Anichlo kavodo b'gdolim, Yosef mi b'gtanim. And generally, all the way back, the Jewish people said, let's give it to Moshe Rabbeinu instead of us, because we're simple people, but Moshe's great. So again, they're each kind of passing it along, being mevater on what they wanted for the kavod they wanted, or for the schos that they wanted, so that other people can get it. That would be more of a kavod for the body. Kavod b'shchem, Yosef was buried in Shechem. Mashna b'Shechem. Why was he buried in Shechem? Amar b'chama b'Rebbe Chanina. B'Shechem ganvuhu. That from Shechem they sold him. The brothers sold him. B'Shechem nachzer avedaso. And to Shechem, that's where they're going to return him. It was some sort of the Marzu brings down to Shmos Rabbah that they wanted to rectify the sin of selling him. They specifically brought him back to the place where they're all giving him kavod and all burying him with such a mitzvah of burying him that they wanted to rectify the original sin of the brothers selling him. Unbelievable. Kashu Kroya Dodi. Wait, we have a kasha on the psukim. Ksiv Vaikach Moshe Sasmos Yosef Imo, that Moshe brought the bones of Yosef. Ksiv Sasmos Yosef Asher El Bnei Yisrael Lagomer, right? We seem to have Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael. Which one is it? Amar Mechavim Berebi Chanina Kolos Adavar Vlo Gomru. Famous line, whoever does something but doesn't finish it, starts a mitzvah and doesn't finish it, ubo achar v'gamru, and somebody else comes and finishes it, ma'alev akosav al shegamru kiloso, then we're going to give credit to the person who finished it, not the person who just started it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, let's discuss that in just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achma ridnoso migduloso, they also bring him down from, so to say, from his greatness. If we start something and we don't finish it, that Yehuda was trying to save Yosef, but he didn't end up saving him, right? And therefore, right after this is a story with Tamar, what happened with Tamar. So he went down from his gedula right after he wasn't able to finish that mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Yomer, af kover ishto ubanov. Wow. If somebody does so, he even buries his wife and kids. Thomas Basheva, Bashua, Ishes Yuda, Vigomer Uchseva Yamas, Erva Onan. That by the Pasuk of Yehuda, his kids also, Aaron Onan, we discussed last week, they passed away while they were married to Tamar. Very important that the Rishonim Mitzionim Malacha brings down that it's only if we could finish it. Moshe wasn't able to finish burying Yosef. He wasn't able to go into Eretz Yisrael, which, by the way, tomorrow's daf. A lot about Moshe going into Eretz Yisrael on tomorrow's daf. But Moshe was able to finish it. So he's not taken to task for not finishing it. If somebody, plus, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu tried to set up the Arei Miklat Eivar HaYarden, even though he couldn't set up in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, but Moshe, don't do it, because you can't finish the mitzvah. No, wait, allow somebody else to do it. No. They brought down in the Rishonim, the Mitzvah of Balacha, that If we're able to finish a mitzvah, great, let's finish it. But if we can't, let's at least start it. Let's do something. Let's show that we want to do so. And in that, we should get the schos. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, v'mpnei ma nekor Yosef atzmos b'chayev. Why was Yosef called literally bones in his life when he says, bring up my bones from Mitzrayim? V'mpnei shelo micha b'chvod aviv. Powerful line, because he didn't, so to say, protest by the kvod aviv. Even though he was known for his kibud av, the ben yoyada up on top out, mashakim bezeh, still, there was an element there, a fraction, where he did not. What happened? Dikamri le avdecha avinu, the brother said, your servant, our father, v'amr luvlo midi, he didn't even comment. V'amr yudah amarav, yitimer v'chamer v'chinina, nivnei ma meis, Yosef kodol nachiv. Why was Yosef the first one to pass away from all of his brothers? He was the first of the shvatim to die, mipnei shehinhik asmo b'rabonus, because he literally acted with a sense of rabonus. Which means what? Pride, the word could be some like not necessarily pride, but birabanus. He acted. He was in a position of authority. He sort of say acted in a position of authority. This line, I saw a noter on my Gemara from 7.5 years ago, which is so cool. I feel like I just feel like I have to share. Like when I wrote these notes, it would have been a dream to be able to share it. So now it's great to be able to share it. Does shehinig asal birabanus means that he was in a position of authority? That means that whoever is in a position of authority, it will be so stressful on them that literally their life will be shorter because they're so caught up in what happens. Not in a bad way. Just if you're a prime minister, if you're a president, you run an organization, oftentimes your stress levels, your blood pressure can be much higher. Or is it that he himself acted and got used to the authority and it got his head a little bit? Which one is it? So, I guess I know the answer, but... Right, so that could have been a reality, or maybe it got his head a little bit. So the question is, which one? Because that was a reality, but which one was it? Did he act like it, or it was a reality, and therefore that happens? There's a nafkamina between the two. Yeah. Somebody can be in a position of authority, but it never gets to his head. So, Rabbi Kaufman, I think this is referring to Rabbi Kaufman, who's Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Gedolah of Waterbury, where I was in Yeshiva. He showed me on Shavuos, somewhere I'm writing, in Pirkei Avos, that the Gemara... this Gemara is brought down in the Mishnah that says Usnas Harabanus, hate Rabanus. And that is brought down there, which evidently brings down that Yosef, who was on a higher madrig, he was judged on a higher level, of course, but he did act with a mashahu of Rabanus. That it wasn't just that he had a position of authority. We need people with positions of authority. The Jewish people need leaders. But we can't have that get to our head. It seems like Yosef Venu to a certain extent, that Yosef Atzadik did to a certain extent have us get to our head. Maybe that also why that can relate to the line right before it that said Avdecha Avinu. Maybe that relates to it. I'm thinking right now. Avdecha Avinu, he should have protested and said something, but he didn't. So maybe there are these elements where it caught his head a little bit. We're talking about Yosef Atzadik. It's hard to even say these things, but we should recognize that there is what that we could take from that for ourselves and for our lives. Yosef Ur Mitzrayim, and Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim. Amar Belozer Al Tikri, Hurid Elo Horid. Don't say Harid that he was brought down, but so to say he brought himself down. Meaning that once he came down, all the astrologers, so to say, lost their job. Shehorid Stagnini Power Megadulasan. That Horid means that everybody kind of was lowered once he went there, because he was such a great dream interpreter. Vayakneo Potiphar, Sris Paro, famous line, and Potiphar, the Sris Paro, acquired him. Amar Rav Shekanu L'atzmo, that Rav says that he, so to say, acquired him for himself, as Rashi says, for Mishkav Zohar, because of Yosef's Yofyo. Because of Yosef's beauty, he acquired him for Mishkav Zohar. Bo Gavriel Upiro. Gavriel came and, so to say, castrated him. Meikor Ksiv Potifar Uvasov Potifera. Because originally we call him Potifar, and then we call him Potifera, which we see that the angel did not allow Potifar, or Potifera, to be with Yosef. Milano Godol Mimosha V'chulu, says the Gemara here, that Moshe was involved with Yosef's Sevura, and who's greater than Moshe? Vayomer Hashem Elai, Rav Loch. Hashem says to Moshe, I think in Parshas Eschanan, of Eschanan, meaning stop davening to get into Eretz Yisrael. Like, that's it, right? Stop davening, that's it. Amar B'levi, Barav B'ser, Barav B'sruhu. That he was told with Rav, meaning Rav Loch, you've got a lot going for you. Stop, and Barav B'sruhu. He also said the word Rav. When? Barav B'ser, Rav Lochem. Rav Bisru, Rav Loch. That by Korach, he said, Rav Lochem, B'nei Levi. Rav Lochem, guys, you have enough. Stop. And here also, he was given over with the word Rav. Not enough time right now, but there's a beautiful note in the art scroll that brings down exactly the... maybe I'll read it very, very fast, if that's okay. I think we have a few moments. Here we go. It's on 13b3. Moshe was right to dissuade Korach from usurping the position of the Kohen Gadol. However, Moshe committed a slight error in expressing this message through the words Rav Loch. This phrase implies that Korach was seeking to fulfill more and more mitzvos And Moshe discouraged him from pursuing whatever was not already obligatory upon him. He said, Rav Loch means you have a lot going for you. You have a lot of mitzvos, but no. Stop doing those mitzvos. Like, that's fine. This is an incorrect attitude. Heaven views with pleasure a person who wants further spiritual progress and more mitzvos. Thus, Moshe desired to enter Eretz Yisrael so as to come obligated in more mitzvos. That's why Moshe wanted to come here, because there's more mitzvos that we could do. Mitzvos at Tulis Ba'aretz. Hashem discouraged him with the same phrase. Says Rav Shlomo, Kluger in the Imre Shefer on Parshas Korach. So the Rav Loch could have been implied to say, like, don't try to become greater, don't try to do more mitzvos, it's fine, what you have is fine. And we as Jews, we know that our soul, our neshama pines for more and more and more, we should always be yearning for more. Devracher, Rav Loch, Rav Yishloch, Umanu, or Rav Loch means you have a Rebbe, Moshe is saying, and who is that? Umanu Yoshua. Devracher, Rav Loch, what does that mean, Rav Loch? Shelo Yomer HaRav, Kama Kasha, the Talmud Kama Sarfon. Hashem's telling Moshe, I don't want, like, stop davening because it looks like, oh, what a great Talmud. He's asking so well. And that teacher, what a harsh teacher. He's just not giving in to him. So I'm not allowing you to earn Eretz Yisrael. It's not happening. Why? Whole discussion. But at least stop asking because it's not reflecting positively on this relationship. And why? Tana Devei. The Rebbe Yishma Lefum Gamla Shichna, which literally means that according to the camel is how much you could load it on. And in Moshe's case, meaning according to the specific situation, is how much punishment, so to say, there will be. And according to Moshe's case, Hashem was not allowing him to go into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he wanted to make sure that was even, but that was exact for Moshe's personality. Let's do just a little bit more, if that's okay. And by the way, every one of these lines, as we can see, is like action, packed with hashkaf, like everything. But we have to make sure that we're trying to cover the daf. Moshe says on the last day of his life, I'm 120 years old. Right? This day is coming to finish out my days. Which shows that Hashem is exact to the day, to the lives of the tzaddikim. I'm going to fill your days. Lo chalo laseisav lavo. At the beginning of Parshas Vayelech, right, that he will no longer be able to come. My latseis v'lavo. What does Moshe say, right? My days are filling up and I'm no longer able to latseis v'lavo, go out and to come in. What is he referring to with the words latseis v'lavo? Ilema latseis v'lavo mamash. If he's not able to walk anymore, meaning latseis v'lavo, I just can't move anymore. V'aksiv Moshe ben me'avesrim shana b'moso lo nos lecha. He didn't lose a step. It means that he had all his energy and vigor. So what does he mean? Latseis v'lavo. I'm not able to latseis v'lavo anymore. Uksiv ayal Moshe marvos mov el har nevo. Then Moshe went up to har nevo. That there were 12 steps through. Fisson Moshe b'psiachas. That Moshe was going up to Har Nevo to be married. He jumped 12 steps in one. It means that he was able to latseis v'lavo, to move around. He was doing fine. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmini. Amar Rebbe Yonasan. Latseis v'lavo b'divrei Torah. No. I'm no longer latseis v'lavo b'divrei Torah. Now is when I gotta stop. That from there is when Hashem began to close up the Shari Chachma for him. To show this is a transition of authority. The Ramban in Devarim brings down that Hashem wants to show Moshe, all right, I'm going to start to limit your Chachma because it's being transitioned to Yoshua. He's going to be the monarch of Klal Yisrael. Let's have a great day. Let's stop right here. More on Moshe's burial coming up. Moshe wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael, and Emir Hashem tomorrow will finish off the first parak of Misavah Sota and continue back with Sota issues in the second parak. Have a wonderful day.